So Commissioner Ramsey, thank you very much for taking the time to meet with me. I appreciate it. Here in Philadelphia with the International Association of Chiefs Police Conference going on, how does is it an honor, or how's the impact of having IACP here in Philadelphia? How does it affect your day? How does it affect the city?
Well, I mean, it is an honor. I think 13,000 people signed up or registered for the conference, which is, makes it a significant conference to be held in our city. Certainly has an economic impact on the city.
Right.
But more important than that, having chiefs from around the world come to our city to deal with issues of concern to all of us in law enforcement is quite an honor to be able to showcase the city, talk about some of the things we're doing, learn from others about things that they're doing. We look forward to having it again in 2017. I mean,
is it set to come back here?
It's set to come back in 2017.
Outstanding.
You know, the men and women of the department were pretty excited by it, and about it rather, and they were looking forward to it. So we've got officers assigned down here. They know people will be coming up to them, asking them all kinds of questions, including where can I get, who has the best cheesesteak, and all that sort of thing. So we equip them with a lot of information to provide to people. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. So this has been great. Now, it's been taxing because there's a lot of work that goes into these things.
Oh, yeah.
But it's worth it.
Is it... You've been in law enforcement a long time and having been the chief of D.C. Police Department. How much of, and I forgive the term because I don't mean old as in aged. I mean, how much old folks, I mean, how's it been like, how many friends have you seen here that you've known through your career that it's good to catch up with them at IACP? Does it offer that kind of opportunity?
It does. It does. You see a lot of people that you tend to only see at conferences, but one in particular, Matt Rodriguez, the retired superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, who I had the pleasure of working for as a deputy superintendent, well, actually as a deputy chief and as a deputy superintendent. He selected me to head up the community policing project in Chicago.
Okay.
From its inception back in 1992,
all right.
I believe it was. And that totally changed my career and my life. And I owe him a lot. And to see him here with his wife, he was past president of the Major City Chiefs Association. I'm currently the president of the Major City Chiefs Association. We honored past presidents, and Matt came down and received a real nice gift and recognition for his contribution to the profession.
And you were able to present that to him, I
suppose. I was able to present it, which made it even more
special. I was about to say, it feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people who have never worn a uniform, who've never had the experience of working for somebody that they grow to respect in some of the worst circumstances sometimes, they'll never get how good it feels to be able to honor the person who mentored you or gave you a chance or coached you or whatever. And it really is something I think law enforcement, maybe military, they're the only people get to enjoy in that specific way.
It was something very special. It meant a lot to me. And I think it meant a lot to him.
Well, you know, you mentioned Major Chiefs, and I didn't even know that you were the president. It was a whole new venue, but... That has to provide you a lot of information on how the economy's either recovering or staying stagnant or still being challenged in some places. And I know in law enforcement, compared to 5 or 6 years ago, our strength overall in the country's probably down about 15%, and that might be a generous number.
Well, I mean,
is it looking better? Is it looking worse in your opinion?
Well, things are starting to come back. I don't think we'll get back to the levels we were prior to the recession.
Okay.
And part of that is because crime rates have continued to go down.
Right.
And I think elected officials and others, and rightfully so, actually will rethink staffing. You may not agree with that, but it's hard to argue for more.
I think it's easy
when
for
the numbers are going down.
I think it's easy for the street officers to argue it because they feel like they're bearing the brunt of the work. And I think they look up the chain and they see chiefs or captains or majors that aren't arguing it, and they're going, but I hit the street with a page and a half of calls, and I leave the street with a page and a half of calls. And when you start looking at it in proportion and in ratio, it becomes a different conversation.
Well, we do need more, but it's hard to make that argument when you've got competing demands.
Right.
I mean, we are a big part of any city's budget, but there are other priorities that were put on hold during a recession as well.
Right.
And so some serious decisions have to be made. I understand how it's going to be very difficult for departments to really argue for any significant increase in resources. And one of the things about the Major City Chiefs, And that organization is made up of the 67 largest departments and cities in the United States, the 9 largest in Canada, and we have 2 members from the United Kingdom now, Greater Manchester Police and the London Metropolitan Police. So they're now over in UK, for an example, are just really starting to feel the recession like we felt a couple years ago, particularly in London.
Okay.
Because of the Olympics, they were spared the cuts that many of the other agencies in the UK underwent a year ago, 2 years ago.
Right.
So now London is having to deal with it as well. So they're having to make some adjustments. So it's interesting to get not only a U.S. perspective, but a more global perspective on the impact of the recession because, you know, I mean, we live now in a world where we are connected globally. I mean, and what happens one place affects you somewhere else.
And it makes it easier not to feel targeted. It makes it easier not to feel isolated. And you see that it's not just the United States that's
right.
feeling the impacts of these things. You don't
right.
feel necessarily so challenged or put out. It's easier to understand everybody else's outlook. Speaking to that, though, here we are at IACP, and you walk the floor, and there's so much technology out there. There's so many software programs. There's so many specific staff management programs, dispatching, manpower, assistance, support. Is the technology today, in your opinion, really making an impact on the efficiency of use of people?
The technology is having an impact, and it's made us police smarter. Deploy our resources more efficiently, more effectively, which almost ties back into the previous conversation around budget, around staffing,
right.
around, you know, how we staff, when we put people out there on the street, where we target areas, and the like. One of the downsides of technology is the lack of flexibility in some of these software programs, where you buy programs or you buy software only to find out that you can't really change it the way you may need as issues or problems or needs for certain types of information change.
Right.
You need to be able to easily change it. Now, can you change it? Yes, but it may cost you $200,000
right.
to rewrite a program or
right.
what have you. And
or
in
just
these
simply
times,
modify the code of the
database. Just,
yeah.
You just don't necessarily have it. So I think in policing, we have to become smart consumers and kind of know what we want, ask the right questions, and force the industry to create products that have that kind of flexibility, that can provide the kind of information that you need to have when you need to have it. And they'll do it. But I think we have to be smart consumers and really kind of force the issue because it's a problem. It's an issue. It's not to say that the technology out there isn't impressive, it isn't good, it doesn't enhance our operations. But we have to always kind of lean forward and think about, okay, what's next?
Absolutely.
One of the most impressive things I saw was some work done by the LAPD in partnership with Ford Motor Company. And I don't know if you had a chance to see the vehicle because it's tucked away in a corner of the exhibition hall.
I have not.
And you know, when you get these cars now, we got so much equipment we're trying to force into these cars. Cars get smaller, and the amount of stuff we put in cars gets only bigger.
Right.
So you got an MDT.
Right.
You got to position it in a way where it doesn't interfere with airbags. You try to minimize some officer in a crash, when that
right.
becomes either a projectile or something that kind of slams up against your hips or whatever. They worked with them, and they designed a car that, I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's got right where you would have your GPS in most cars.
Mm-hmm.
They've built an elongated screen
mm-hmm.
that's got both video camera capability in terms of being able to see what you're recording from a dash cam or body cam.
Right.
It's got the GPS, which doubles as a screen for case reporting and things of that nature.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Anything you would need to come up on MDT comes up on that particular screen.
Integrated into the dashboard.
Integrated into
the
dash. It's out of the way. It's built into the car. They lowered when you put your light bar and all the equipment that goes in between the seats. They lowered it to a point where if you get hit, T-bone, it doesn't crash into your hip.
Right.
Because officers get injured that way. I mean, it's designed for police officers. You go into the trunk, and they've got modules that they've created for the lights, for the radio, for the computer, MDT transmitter. So if you don't have to put the car down, you just slide the one thing out, put a new one in, and keep rolling. A place for the shotgun, beanbag, stop strips, whatever you might have.
Right.
And it flips up out of the way so that you got a full trunk to put your gear.
That's cool.
It's like
booth. Somebody actually like 101 paid attention and thought
LAPD
about it?
LAPD officers sat down with Ford and said, here's what we need. And Ford came up with a prototype.
That's, I'm going to have to go back and look.
At 101, because I know they shut down pretty soon, but you got it. I think it's 101.
And I've only got two other things to ask you. Hopefully, there'll be shorter answers. Attorney General Holder mentioned active shooters, and we have an ongoing problem in this country today. Without getting into the political debate that goes around gun control and all the different laws and everything else, he suggested that we have a more aggressive response. Now, I myself have been an active shooter instructor since the year 2000, and I don't know how we can get more aggressive within the limitations of constitutional law that we have to operate under. Do you see this as an ongoing impact and challenge for law enforcement in the country?
I think it's an ongoing impact and an ongoing challenge. We just had a school shooting in Nevada yesterday. So, I thought, though, that the Navy Yard shooting, the presentation Kathy Lanier gave at Major City Chiefs was very interesting. When it looked at some of the formations we use and how we train, diamond formation, for an example, the corridors there were so narrow, they were in a diamond formation. The guy couldn't miss the cops going down the hall because they filled so different tactical formations so officers can make instant decisions on which is the best under the circumstances type of thing. All those kinds of things I think are very, very useful. We learn as we get in these things.
From every incident, unfortunately, like we did at Virginia Tech with those doors being chained.
Well,
you got to include breaching in your shooting and training now. So.
And the cop at the Navy Yard was sharp enough to take the ID card from the dead guard,
right?
Because many of the key access swipe cards.
Yep.
And he was sharp enough when he first got in there. He grabbed his ID. You could tell the guy was deceased. He took his ID, so he could get it. They could enter into parts.
Thinking
of the
under pressure is something that and you have to appreciate this with your time in law enforcement. We go through so much screening to hire proper applicants, to train people the right way, and I almost feel like the one thing we can't teach is grace under pressure. That's got to be something that they've learned growing up, and there's just no way to filter it when we're recruiting.
Yeah.
Is there a way to train it that you, do you think? I mean, is there a way we can improve the quality? As a trainer, I can't come up with a way short of inundating them with high-stress training. Is there a way to do it?
But I think there are ways in which you can do it with reality-based training, putting people in stressful situations and simulations. And that's been proven to be pretty effective when people really get immersed into a particular scenario.
Right.
To at least see how they're going to respond. Reinforcing a lot of things, something as simple as that ID card. I mean, this guy was, I don't know if I would have thought of that.
I can tell you I wouldn't.
You know, I don't
we
know
get so ingrained. Go hunt, go hunt, go
right,
hunt,
right,
go hunt.
Right, right, right. And then you get to the first door and you say, oh, you know, can't get in, you know?
Right.
And so those kinds of things, not everybody's going to be able to make those kinds of good decisions under pressure. But I do think the more reality-based training we provide, the more we put people in stressful situations to make them respond and make them react, not where they can go back and tell their buddy, yeah, I just went through the training, they're going to do X, Y, and Z, watch out for that. No,
right.
change it up. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
Because that's reality. And the more we can do that, the more I think we can respond under pressure.
And then we run back into the budget problem.
Well, I agree. But we got to sell that.
Yes, we do. We have to show the value.
We got to show the value, and we got to really let our elected leaders and our finance people understand, here's what we're trying. We're not just asking more money for training. Here's what we're going to be doing, and here's why it's important, and here's the scenario that this is based on, the real thing that happened.
Right.
That it's based on that we've got to adjust to.
So we can show them the return on their investment that's not dollars and cents. It's human value.
And we tend not to do that. We tend to just say we need more for whatever, and then they can ignore it.
Well, Commissioner, I really appreciate your time. Officer.com is the website that I represent. We reach about 1.2 million people a month. with about 800,000 police officers in this country, obviously we're reaching them and then some. Do you have anything you'd like to leave them with, a message you want to close with to, I mean, every brother and sister cop in the country?
Well, I'm very proud of law enforcement. I'm proud of everything we've been able to accomplish, and I'm excited about the future. I mean, we just touched on technology and a variety of things. I mean, I started my career in law enforcement in 1968.
I tip my hat to you, sir. I was four.
Yeah. I got my first command in 1987, and I remember being a district commander using pin maps to track my crime and so forth. And I look at what we are capable of doing today. It is just absolutely amazing. But that puts more demands, more pressure on us, and our officers are better educated than ever before. They come. They're coming from a world of technology, so they're not afraid of it.
Right.
They embrace it, and they can be very innovative. And as managers, we've got to allow them to be innovative, tap into that, and design that car of the future like they did in LAPD. That came from officers that said, "Hey, listen, here's right. how you need to design a car. What about these records management systems? What about all this other stuff?" That comes from the people who have to use it every day, and people who are thoughtful will say, "There's a better way."
All right.
We got to tap into that. So God bless them.
Commissioner, thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.